Thyatira. The message to Pergamos carries ecclesiastical history to the year 538 AD, at which time the union between civil and ecclesiastical power begun in the days of Constantine was consummated. During the period covered by Pergamos, the Spirit of the Lord was with the church as a church, but near the end of that period, a separation began to take place. In the years following, there was formed an organization still carrying the name of Christian, and another company, separating from that first organization, because of the practices of Balaam, the idolatry and fornication practiced by those who were once Christians indeed. Thus, improper education was the cause of the apostasy of the church, and the one sign of its fall was that, in its spiritual weakness, it sought the civil power for support. It is under these conditions that the message comes to the church of Thyatira. It is sent by the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. Christ still walks among the candlesticks, but to Thyatira he comes with eyes like unto a flame of fire, to search the very hearts of those who profess to be his followers. To these, he says, I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works. This was not an idle period. Their works are thrice mentioned in the one list. Those who established a state religion, replacing paganism by the papacy, were most diligent workers. The church absorbed every government, every industry, all the educational institutions, everything. There was not a corner of Europe which was not under the direct inspection of that all-absorbing organization known as the papacy. Not only kings on their thrones, but every private individual in his own home was amenable to the power of Rome. The church stood between the king and his subjects. It stood between parents and children. It came between husband and wife. The secrets of men's hearts were open to the confessor. Works of all kinds were advocated, for the church taught that men were saved by works. Long pilgrimages across continents paid many a debt of sin. Penance and indulgences took bread from many a hungry mouth. The strongest government that ever bore sway was seated on the throne. Nevertheless, the masses thought that in their works for the church, their service, their charities, and their faith, they served the Christ. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. The sins imputed to the church of Pergamos are repeated in the message to Thyatira, but they are introduced by a different character. The woman Jezebel is taken as an object lesson. Jezebel was a Zidonian princess, a prophetess of the god Baal. Unlike Balaam, who before his fall worshipped the true God, Jezebel never made any pretensions of worshipping the Lord. Ahab, the king of Israel, married her for the sake of her influence, but found himself completely under the control of a headstrong, wicked woman. At her table in the kingdom of Israel sat the prophets of Baal. In the capital were erected temples, groves, and altars to the heathen god. Sun worship took the place of the worship of Jehovah. The prophets of God were put to death by order of the queen. Even Elijah fled before her face. She was a propagator of whoredom and witchcraft, and in the name of the king she wrote a letter causing innocent men to be put to death. Israel had war, bloodshed, and finally captivity as the result of the evil of this woman. It was during her lifetime that the heavens were stayed, so that it rained not for 3.5 years. The history of Jezebel is an unerring guide to the interpretation of the prophetic history of the church during the Dark Ages. In every detail, even to this last period of years, the history of Jezebel is a parable of the church history during the time, times, and half a time. the 3 1/2 years of the papal supremacy, the period covered by the message to Thyatira. As a result of the doctrine of justification by works, which was the stronghold of the Church during this period, Europe had over 1,000 years of darkness, known in all history as the Dark Ages. It was a tyranny of the most absolute kind, a tyranny of theology over thought. Whosoever raised a hand against the Church fell as did Naboth, whom Jezebel slew. Sorcery, witchcraft, idolatry, and fornication took the place of the religion of Jesus Christ. Antichrist, or the mystery of iniquity, had full control of the world. As Jezebel wrote in the king's name, and in his name slew an innocent man, so the apostate church opposed and exalted itself above the King of heaven. And while speaking in his name, it changed the law of Jehovah, and put to death thousands who were indeed followers of Christ. Jezebel had an opportunity to repent. So also had Ahab her husband, for there were many prophets in Israel, and the truth of God was taught. But the royal family were so under the control of the mother that there was no salvation for them. So God said of Thyatira, or the church of the Dark Ages, I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. But as there was a day of recompense with Jezebel, so there will be with the oppressive power of the papacy. Jezebel was thrown from a window and dashed to pieces, and dogs ate her body. Ahab was slain, and dogs licked up his blood, and his sons were also killed. Of the mystery of iniquity it is recorded, Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Herein is given the final destruction of the apostate church. The civil power of the papacy was broken in 1798, when Pope Pius VI was taken prisoner by the French. But the influence continues. Thyatira is Babylon itself, and the churches spoken of elsewhere as daughters of Babylon will meet with the fate of the mother Thyatira. For when the history of all churches is over, Babylon and her daughters will be destroyed in the lake of fire. The time of trouble spoken of by Daniel the prophet in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, will be the time of tribulation for Thyatira. Of this, the dreadful death of Jezebel is a symbol, as her life and deeds are taken to typify the church itself. Mention has already been made of a separation from the church, as a church in the days of Pergamos and the early days of Thyatira. Individuals who recognized the leadings of the Spirit gathered in little companies, hidden away in the caves, mountain fortresses, and dens, like the prophets of God in the days of Jezebel. In these secluded spots were thousands who did not bow the knee to Baal. Among these were the Waldenses of Italy, and others scattered all through Europe, who retained the word of God and trusted in his promises. Of these scattered yet faithful ones, the message speaks in the following words, But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine of Jezebel, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. The name Thyatira means sacrifice of contrition, and appears to have direct application to those who in the eyes of their persecutors and the world were looked upon as heretics and outlaws, fit subjects for the stake. Their sacrifice was in truth a sacrifice of contrition. The contrite heart is the heart which God honors. As the ages passed, much of the light and truth which shone upon the apostolic church had been lost. But the Savior does not rebuke the ones who were sacrificing for the truth, which they knew and lived out, because they did not have the light of the first centuries. Justification by faith was the doctrine which broke the power of the papacy. Christ and Him crucified, a truth so long forgotten, or replaced by faith in the head of the church, was given to the people of the world in the 16th century. Many other truths, long hidden by the darkness, or buried under the traditions of the church, were brought forward in the early days of the Reformation. The Sabbath of the Decalogue was acknowledged. Some preached upon the true meaning of baptism, and others made known the proper relation of the church to the state. But these subjects were too strong for minds so long held in subjection. The age was not ripe for the fullness of the truth. But as watchmen of the night hail the dawn when the morning star arises, so the early reformers, from Wycliffe to Luther and his contemporaries, opened the Scriptures, and the first rays of light brought joy and gladness to those who sat in darkness. The very ones who saw the darkness break before the light of God's Word saw also the sign of the coming of the Son of Man, which was hung in the heavens. In 1780 the sun was darkened. This was the first of a series of celestial signs, and it was given to encourage those who had been oppressed. For more information on this, see Chapter 7, the Sixth Seal. Christ says, "I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come." How merciful is our God! He measures out to humanity its burdens of life, and no burden is made heavier than can be borne. "Only hold fast till I come," are His words of encouragement. To others more accustomed to the light, greater truths would be made known. To the little companies thus addressed was given the privilege of holding up the torch of truth. As a beacon on a hill, seen from afar, the light shone from the valleys of the Piedmont. Many came in contact with this light, and soon fires were kindled throughout Europe. "He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations." Truth was bound to triumph, though trampled to the ground for over 1,000 years. At last the faithful ones will reign as kings. The hand of the oppressor will be broken to pieces as a potter's vessel. There was a time when the clay was soft and yielding, when it could have been remolded. But as the fires of persecution kindled, those who remained hardened in sin became so set that any attempt to change them resulted in breaking them to pieces. "I will give him the morning star," Christ is the light, and the faithful ones at the close of the years of persecution were told to lift up their heads, for their redemption draweth nigh. This is the first church which is pointed forward to the second coming of Christ. The message to Thyatira is in harmony with the psalmist's words, "My soul waiteth for the Lord, more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning." It should be remembered that as the experiences of Ephesus, Smyrna, and Pergamos will be repeated in the last church before the second coming of Christ, so the history of Thyatira will have its counterpart in the last generation. The power of Jezebel will again be felt. What was once done by a church in days of intellectual darkness will be repeated in days of great light. The union of the church and state will be followed by laws compelling obedience to man-made laws instead of the laws of God. The law of God will be trampled underfoot, for a church with civil power always works the works of Jezebel. Just as Elijah fled before ancient Jezebel, so those proclaiming the last warning message, of which Elijah was a type, will be persecuted by this power. This message is impressed upon the minds of those living in the latter days by the oft-repeated words, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches."